Thank you so much. Great, great singing. What a great missionary presentation as well. Take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 9. We'll read a portion there and then go to another place, but Leviticus chapter 9. And did you all say you were from Fargo or Grand Forks? Grand Forks. Is that the hometown of Lawrence Welk? Or is it Fargo? Where? Strasburg. Okay. It's North Dakota, though, right? Right. North Dakota. Yeah, my favorite. Lawrence Welk. All right. There's a museum out there somewhere out there, and I'm determined before I die to visit the Lawrence Welk Museum. All right. Leviticus chapter 9. By the way, I everything I know about music I learned from Lawrence Welk as a kid watching the show, and I still watch the Lawrence Welk show. And I was delighted to find out that Pastor Lopez now watches the Lawrence Welk show. And I told him you could get a graduate degree in music education just by watching. All right, your Bibles are open to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning at verse number 22. I want you to notice something that Aaron did, and then we're going to turn to a passage in Numbers. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. The Bible says, "And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Now notice that two times, verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible says that they blessed the people. In verse 24, the Bible says, "There came out a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which was when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." The actions of Moses and Aaron were to bless the people. Now turn over to Numbers, please, with me. Numbers chapter 6, just a few pages over in your Bible. Numbers chapter 6. Note, if you will, that both Moses and Aaron pronounced a specific blessing upon the people of God. Indeed, it was part of the duty of the priesthood to pronounce a blessing. In a moment, we're going to read exactly what the words of that blessing was, but understand that this was something that was incumbent upon the priesthood, that after they were done bringing the sacrifices and making the offering, that frequently in the morning offering and then later on in the evening offering, when they would appear before the people to announce that the offering was complete, they would appear with a blessing specifically prescribed by God on their lips in order to bless the people with the words that God had given. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons." Aaron, of course, being the priest, his sons being priests. "Speak unto Aaron," pardon me, "and his sons, saying, On this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." Now listen carefully. This is a blessing, word for word, as God would have his people to hear. It was to be pronounced by the lips of the priest. But I want you to listen to the content of the blessing. In verse 24, here are the words. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name," they being the priests, Aaron and his descendants, "and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel." Whose name? God's name. "And I will bless them." Ladies and gentlemen, tonight this is highly significant. I said in the morning service that I would be speaking about something that many of us do on a regular basis and don't really fully understand what we're doing. And what I'm speaking of there is this, our use of the phrase and our frequent use of the phrase, "God bless you." We say that all the time. And sometimes in our letters, and I know that I do this as well, in letters and emails, I will sometimes close the letter or the email with the word, "God bless you." When someone sneezes or coughs occasionally, we will say, God bless you. When someone's going through a difficult time, we'll utter those words. And by the way, nothing wrong with uttering those words. In fact, it is a good thing to utter those words. But knowing what we mean when we say the words, God bless you, is very significant. Because we're doing more than just saying Gesundheit. Now, Gesundheit is a German term. People sneeze or cough and someone says Gesundheit, and it means to your health. In other words, I hope your health is better. Pardon me. God bless you does not just mean to your health. It means far more than that. And when we invoke the name of God in blessing upon someone, there is a significance that we sometimes do not realize. I want you, as an introduction, to drop down and look at verse 27 again. The Bible says, they, that is Aaron and his son, shall put my name, that is God's name, upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now watch, folks, look carefully. At the name of God, pronounced from the lips of the priest, as the name of God was thrice pronounced in the blessing described in Numbers chapter 6, the name of God coming from the lips of the priest was, as it were, placed upon the children of Israel, the members of God's covenant nation Israel. It was placed upon their heads in covenant union. And God said, at the blessing and the speaking of my name in blessing over my people, God said, I will bless them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see where the phrase, God bless you, is more significant than what we've taken it to mean? It is actually a scriptural phrase. I don't have time to go into some New Testament examples, though I could. For example, Jesus, where He blessed the children. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, a blessing that the Apostle Paul pronounces on the church at Corinth that is inscripturated for us. I don't have time tonight to go into the New Testament example, but suffice it to say, it is appropriate to speak the words, God bless you, and in so doing, place the name of God and His blessing over the head of the person to whom you're speaking. Now notice, if you will, at verse number 24, 25, and 26. The second word of each of those verses is the word Lord. L-O-R-D. You'll notice that it is all capital. It's got a larger L, pardon me, as the first letter, and then capital L, and then O-R-D, all capitalized. You say, preacher, why does it look that way in my Bible? Wherever you find the word Lord capitalized that way, it is a representation of the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah or Yahweh. That is extremely significant because that name for God is God's covenant name. In other words, when God agrees that He's going to do something based upon a covenant agreement, God uses the name Jehovah or Yahweh. It is different, for example, from the common term used for God in the Old Testament, the word Elohim. That's sort of a general term for the word God. And in our English Bible, typically it's translated with the word God. But the word Lord capitalized is significant because it is the covenant name for God. Now hear me, please. When you, in blessing, place over the head of another person God's covenant name, it is highly significant. The name of God was so sacred in the Old Testament that the Jews, when they would be copying portions of the Old Testament, when they would come to the name of God, they would break their quill, take out a fresh quill, pen the name of God, and then break that quill. Never would a quill be used for anything but the name of God when they came to the name of God in their writing and their penning and their copying of the Scripture. So significant is that because that is the name by which God says, I will keep my word. But I want you to notice something tonight that blessed my heart as I was studying this out. The covenant name of God used in blessing His people is not just the generic God bless you. If I were to ask you what does the word bless mean, Most of you would say, well, I don't know, but it means to be blessed, you know. And by the way, if you look it up, the dictionary is very hard-pressed to give you good definition. Bless is one of those words that is kind of the root word of all kinds of different concepts. It is one of, one of those foundational words. And so when we say God bless you, we don't want to speak in generics. But the Bible does not speak in generics, because in Numbers chapter 6, God says specifically how He will bless His covenant people. I want you to see this, and before I get into the points, let me say this. The words that we speak from our mouths are very significant. In the Old Testament, as an example, Abraham pronounced blessings over his descendants. Later on, Isaac did the same thing in a pronunciation of blessing. The words that parted from their mouths were a blessing and a prophecy. And those words came to pass. I would caution parents. Parents, be careful of the words that you speak over your children, because they can come to pass. You say, Pastor, give me an idea. In other words, don't give attributes to your children verbally that are negative. For example, someone will say, and we do this all the time, but really we shouldn't. Someone will say, he's just a little shy. And you'll say that with an earshot of the kid that's a little shy. That reinforces that shy behavior. And you've spoken a word over him, and then all through life he can go along with, I don't have any friends, and I'm just timid, and I can't look people in the eye, because after all, from the time I was just a little tyke, everybody told me I was shy. Now, kids don't think that way, but that's exactly the result of speaking a word over their head. The Bible talks about blessing. What are some things? When I say God bless you, when you say God bless you, and you mean to be using the covenant name of God, you're referring to the Lord God Jehovah, what does it mean? Look, if you will, please, at verse number 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Well, what does bless mean? Preacher, you said it's hard to define. The dictionary is of no help, but the Bible is. The Bible tells us this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now that is what the Bible says. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So when I say to someone, God bless you, I'm asking for them to be prosperous. Prosperous. That means that they will succeed in their endeavors. That God will bless and multiply their labors. That they will be fruitful in their work. When I say God bless you, I'm asking that God would give them in abundance that which they're laboring for. Now hear me carefully. I'm not preaching tonight a prosperity gospel, but I am saying the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It's not just material things. The blessing of the Lord may enrich you with health. The blessing of the Lord may enrich you in spiritual things. But there is a prosperity that comes into your life. Not talking about millions of dollars added to your bank account. Don't get that idea. But when God blesses a life, there is a fullness and a satisfaction and a completeness. And when I say to someone, God bless you, I'm wishing that everything they do would prosper under the hand of God. That verse continues, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. What does blessing mean? It means happiness. Now, folks, listen to me. Boy, what a great word to give somebody. God bless you. When I say that, I'm saying I hope that you will prosper under the divine hand of God. By speaking that word according to verse number 27, I am placing the name of Jehovah over your head. And I am calling upon the covenant-keeping God to keep His covenant with His people and to bless His people and to prosper them and to make them happy, adding no sorrow with it. I'm reminded of the verse that says, every good gift and every perfect gift where cometh down from the Father of lights. God the Father blesses. When I say God bless you, I'm asking for prosperity. Number two, look at verse 24 again. The Lord bless thee and what? And keep thee. And keep thee. Preacher, what are we talking about there? We're talking about protection. Protection. By the way, I have a pastor friend, and this might be a good policy. Is Brother Phillips here? He might have gone to see that new baby. He was up here on the platform a minute ago, wasn't he? Didn't he do one of those disappearing acts on me? I'll tell you. Folks, the hardest thing is to keep the pastoral staff in for the preaching. It's a hard thing. I wish we'd have ushers monitor the bathroom for those fellows. Pastor Phillips might have gone up back to be with his baby and his wife, and that's fine if he did. But I have a pastor friend, and since he's not here, you tell him when you see him, okay? I have a pastor friend, and the pastor friend said this. They just adopted, in fact, it's Pastor Ken Fielder. He was here a while back in our missions conference. They just adopted, been married 19 years, never could have children of their own physically. But they adopted a little girl, and she's 8 months old, and her name is Emily. Let me tell you, I went with Ken down to Pensacola Seminary. We drove down together, and for 12 hours, all I heard, I know everything there is to know about Emily, okay? And boy, I didn't know there was so much you could know about an 8-month-old. I had no clue. I know everything there is to know. I know just how she smiles. I know just how she can shake her head no and nod her head yes and all at the wrong time. I know all about that. And then this man has a computer. And he set up his computer. He said, Pastor Monty, do you want to see a few pictures of Emily? Oh, my soul. His computer has 50 billion gigabytes of memory. I don't even know how much it is, but it's a lot. And he had boom, 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 picture after picture. Hey, and by the way, the poses, I mean, they weren't different poses. They were just slight movements, you know, from one picture to the next. That child, they could paper the walls. But everything there's to know about Emily. Pastor Fielder shared this with me. And this is where I got the idea for this message. He said, Brother Monty, he said, every night before Emily goes to sleep, and he said, if I'm traveling, I'll call and do this over the phone. She's just 8 months old. He said, every night I read those verses. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. He says, I read those verses or say those verses over her every night. What a wonderful idea to breathe the name of the covenant-keeping God over that child. And when He says, Lord, keep thee, what is He saying? He's saying protection. To keep means to guard. When I say the Lord bless thee and keep thee, I'm saying, Lord, guard this individual. Israel was God's specially chosen people. Israel is guarded by God Himself. The angel of the Lord stands watch over the camp of Israel and guards those people specifically in answer to the blessing that Aaron called down upon the congregation. When I ask God to bless, what I'm saying is guard and keep those people. Some of you were alarmed over the fact, I can't go into this, don't have time, but over the fact that Hamas won those elections, Palestinian elections. I am not surprised. In fact, the surprise, if indeed our government was surprised, if, who knows, but if they really were surprised, we're really in trouble. Because it is obvious. You say, Pastor, why did the Palestinians vote for Hamas? Because the Palestinians want to return to the old-time religion of Islam. And that is terrorism. And there is no such thing as a moderate Islamic. Did you hear what I said? That's not ignorant. It's true. There is no such thing as a moderate Islamic. And in voting in Hamas, they're only being true to their religion because Hamas is the most realistic expression of Islam in the world. Now, did you hear what I just said? Let me repeat it again for the crowd listening on sermon audio. Hamas is the most realistic expression of Islam in the world. You say, Preacher, why can you say that? Because killing, maiming, bloodshed and beheading is all part of that religion as ordered and ordained by the Prophet Muhammad. And so they simply voted in a crowd that would carry out the Prophet's wishes. When we leave Iraq, the very same thing will happen. Mark my words. He said, Preacher, what does it mean for Israel? Can I tell you something about Israel? He said, Preacher, you worried about Israel, those barbarians, all bloodthirsty, barbarous people gathered around Israel. Can I tell you something about Israel? Israel's back in her land. Okay? The stage is set for end time events right now. I'm not worried about Israel. The Lord God will keep Israel. Seven-day war was an example of that. The Lord God will keep Israel. God Himself will guard them as the apple of His eye. Now, I understand He's working with the church in this dispensation, but God is setting the stage for end-time events. And Israel as a nation need not fear, because just as the priest of old pronounced the blessing over the people when the sin offering was given, so one day Israel will be established again as a kingdom. The Jew will receive Jesus as his Messiah. They'll go through 7 years of terrible tribulation first, but they will receive Jesus as Messiah. They will look upon Him whom they have pierced, and the very land that is so debated over and fought over in the Middle East, that very land will be the setting for Messiah's throne, where Jesus Christ shall rule and reign from Jerusalem, and Jesus Himself will guard. The Bible says that one day Jerusalem will not need any walls, for the glory of God will guard it round about. It will keep Jerusalem as the apple of His eye. God will guard His people Israel, and none will cause them fear or distress. When the priest said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee," he was saying, "God guard them." Very quickly, the next verse, verse 25, "The Lord make His face to shine upon thee." You say, "Preacher, what does that represent?" The face of Jehovah. Ask you a question now. Everybody turn your thinking caps on with me. The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, make His face to shine upon thee. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. God is a spirit. He that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Does God have a face as a spirit? Oh, yes. Yes, God does. Who is the face of Jehovah? Does anyone know? Jesus Christ. Where verse 24 adequately represents God the Father, verse 25 represents God the Son. Make His face, whose face? Jehovah's face, to shine upon thee. You say, "Preacher, what is that saying?" I'm asking for God's presence. Now watch this. I use the little phrase, "God bless you," but it encapsulates all this. I'm saying, "Lord, I need Your presence," or, "Lord, give them Your presence. Make Your face to shine upon them. Give them Your approval." That is a sense of God's smile. How many times have I said this from the pulpit? I don't care what you think of my preaching. I'm Pastor Monty, you know, you don't have to be so blunt. You listen, I don't meddle in your cooking. You don't meddle in my preaching, okay? Now, I'm not interested in your opinion anyway. Do you know why? Because all I want is His smile. That's what I want. If I've got His smile, if I've got His nod, if I've got His approval, well, that's all that I want. Hey, as a little boy, you know what I looked forward to? My daddy's approval. And daddy was Italian and had a temper. And boy, if he wasn't happy. But when dad was happy, he was happy. And his eyes would sparkle and he'd nod. I can still see it in my mind's eye. His eyes would sparkle and he'd nod and he'd give his approval. And when he gave his approval, it seemed like everything was right in the world. When I say God bless you, I'm saying may Christ's presence shine upon you and make His approval be obvious in your life. Very quickly. Also, and be gracious, be gracious. Who is gracious? Well, the Bible says this. The law came by Moses, but what? Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now, does everyone see this? Verse number 24, God the Father. Verse number 25, God the Son. Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. What is grace? It is when God gives me things I don't deserve. It is God being good to me. Now listen, in spite of who I am. For when I say, "God bless so-and-so," I'm saying, "God, be good to him in spite of who he is." And isn't that how God's goodness always is? No, I've done some things to make brownie points with God. Well, listen. There's some things you can do to place yourself in God's favor, but God's goodness to you is never because of who you are. It is always in spite of who you are. If God ever blesses me, it is His grace. Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. When I say God bless you, I'm saying may God's grace, His unmerited, undeserved favor, fill your life. Blessing in spite of who you are. Very quickly, I want you to see this in verse 26. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Lift up his countenance. That word in the Hebrew literally means to hover or to watch over or to brood over. Do you know the Bible tells us in creation, God created this world and it was initially all covered with water, and the Spirit of God brooded or hovered or watched over the water. The countenance and presence of God in His Holy Spirit comes and hovers over and watches over. You say, preacher, what does it mean? When I pray that God would lift up His countenance, I'm praying that God would give guidance, clarity of direction and purpose, all things that are ministered by the Holy Spirit of God. So, preacher, how are we to know what we're to do? We're to follow God as our leader. If you're in the army, all right, and you're marching, there is one man, the drill sergeant, usually, who is leading the march. He directs you what to do and where to go. How do you know what to do and where to go? You listen to his call and you watch his countenance, his signals. The same is true in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit lives inside and he guides and directs. And when I say that I want God's blessing through his countenance upon you, I'm saying that it is my hope that God will guide and direct you by his countenance. And lastly, that he will give you peace. Again, a work of the Holy Spirit. That is inner peace that passes all understanding. I'm saying this to someone. God bless you. And what I mean by that is this. God, give that person peace in the turmoil of their life. Now let me tell you. This blessing, you say, preacher, that's nice. That's in the pages of the Bible. But the priest in the Old Testament stood after the morning sacrifice outside the tabernacle and later the temple. And with upraised hand, he repeated the words, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And the people went, the Bible says, with the blessing of God. Where was it? Over their heads. Verse 27, "They shall put my name upon the children of Israel." The covenant-keeping God, his name pronounced, and they went with the blessing of God. Well, you say, "Oh, preacher, that's nice, you know, but that's Old Testament, and you're not an Old Testament priest." No, I'm not a priest after the order of Aaron, but if you're a believer, you are a royal priesthood. Remember the priesthood of believers? That means that I individually act as a priest and can come into the presence of God with no mediator save Jesus Christ alone. It means that as a priest, I can interpret the Word of God for myself with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it means that as a believer priest, listen, I can invoke the Word and name of God to pronounce a blessing on another. And I can say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." And when the word "Lord" comes from my lips, it is the covenant name of God. It rests upon the head of his people, and the Bible says God blesses them. Hear me, folk. The next time you say, "God bless you," understand you're calling down the greatest power in all the world on a needy life. Now, he said, "Preacher, what should we do?" Be as Aaron, be as Moses. Call down the blessing of God on people. Hey, memorize those verses and call down the blessing of God on the people of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, what a thrill to know that the covenant-keeping God will bless and keep, will be present, will be gracious. Father, all in those words, and that as the name of the Lord is spoken, it falls upon the heads of your people, and they depart in blessing. Lord, as we go through this life, there are people around us that have needs and burdens and heartaches. Father, they need your presence. They need to sense your touch. May we thoughtfully say the words, "God bless you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Perhaps, Lord, repeating the whole blessing, and doing so, we invoke the covenant name of God to bless His people. Father, encourage us with the knowledge that You desire us to be blessed. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. May it strengthen us this day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand.